The Saints of Salvation by Peter F. Hamilton. Narrated by John Lee. Julos Falling. Ahead of the Neana insertion ship, Julos glowed like a sapphire pearl, its vast oceans and small continents wrapped in long, tranquil streamers of cloud. Space around it was speckled with diamond dust glimmers, as sunlight bounced off the orbital forts that guarded this precious world against invasion. The insertion ship flew in south of the ecliptic, shedding cold mass in irregular bursts like a black comet. By the time it was on its final approach to the unsuspecting planet, it was down to 25 meters in diameter. It had no magnetic field, and its outer shell was radiation-absorbent, rendering it invisible. Fully stealthed, it eluded the vigilance of the orbital forts to slip past them, discarding the last of its reaction mass in its final deceleration maneuver. Now it was basically falling toward the western edge of the largest continent, where a tall mountain range sank into the sea. Tiny course correction ejector continued to refine the ship's descent vector, steering it toward the coast, which was still 30 minutes from greeting the dawn. Inland, perched on undulating foothills, lights from the lonely city of Ephrata shone brightly across the lush valley. As it hit the upper atmosphere, the insertion ship peeled apart into 6 pear-shaped segments. They plunged downward, aero breaking with increasing severity as the atmosphere thickened around them. The segments were aimed close to a thin spit of land whose rocky coastline was covered in a tangle of vegetation. 100 meters from the shore, 6 large splash plumes shot up into the air like thick geysers, crowning and splattering down amidst the startled seabirds flying out to catch the first fish of the day. The Neana swam ashore, creatures out of every human's dark ancestral nightmare, risen out of banishment to stalk the land once more, formidable reptilian bodies moving fast on multiple sinewy limbs, razor claws snapping continuously. They climbed the cliffs at the foot of the mountains and set off in search of their prey. Delian knew the Neana pack was closing on him. He was in Ephrata's downtown district, lurking in the shadows of a deserted plaza as the hot sun shone down vertically. The creepers that were colonizing the lower floors of the crystal and carbon skyscrapers trailed long strands like a verdant waterfall. It was good cover. He stole through the dangling vegetation, letting their silky leaves slither over his bare face, a sensation akin to a shower of fine dust. Somewhere along the avenue he was approaching, a flock of birds took flight, wings pumping hard to create a swirl of bright colors, blotting out the sky. He peered forward, seeing long shadows slink between the ferns that had conquered the pavements. A fast clattering was just audible above the dumb squawking of the fleeing birds, the gullet rattle Neana packs used to communicate when they were hunting. Delian spun around the corner of the building, raising his bow. The lead Neana was closer than he would have liked. When the diabolical thing saw him, it started a kill run. Muscles as thick as his torso flexed along its hind limbs, pounding it forward. 2 sets of upper body limbs extended, claws snapping. Its victorious ululation was deafening. Delian stood still for a second, keeping the bow stable. He let the iron-tipped arrow fly. It split the air like a black laser beam and pierced Ayana's gullet. The monster lurched to the ground, bile-colored blood pumping from the wound, momentum tumbling it forward. The others screamed their fury and charged him, but Delian was already gone, racing for the other side of the avenue and the tangle of creepers skirting the skyscraper. Dappled darkness closed around him, and the rough leaves clung to his bulky, bulletproof vest, slowing his flight. His boots crunched the fronds beneath his feet as he headed for cover behind the skyscraper's entrance portico. Behind him, the Neana were calling to one another, their stark twig drum rattle reverberating across the plaza. He reached the portico and crouched down. His breathing was heavy in his ears, heart pounding as he waited, but nothing attacked him. He eased his metal helmet upper fraction and snuck a quick glance around the wall.